So, no more of the video live from the pages, I guess. But we've got some shit. So let's see if we can't get to that shit, get to the trigger warning. Phoenix Kaliter is very sick and can't be on the program. She probably won't be on the program for the entire week. So I'm gonna do as much of the tag list as I can. But the tag list is 6 pages. You know, so the tag list is almost 200 people, so I can't really do the whole darn tag list and get the show opened up and get it running. So I'll give it a gosh darn shot. Before we get directly into the shit, bring that down a bit. All right. Yeah, we don't need all that volume on that. All right, so fucking WineCellarMedia.com. Cops are offended as restaurant staff sings Fuck the Police by N.W.A. At least that's what they claim. I don't know if it's true, right? And with the cops, nigga, hey, whatever you claim is probably a lie. So really, you have to provide lots and lots and lots and lots of video evidence, and then we'll have a national conversation if we feel like it. A man goes on a shooting spree with a beer in one hand and a gun in the other. Well, you have to have a gun to have it go on a shooting spree, but the beer... Was it a cold beer? That's what I'm wondering. Was it a cold beer? If it wasn't a cold beer, he can fuck off. A fucking family court judge refuses to hear cases that involve practicing homosexuals. A defense attorney uses the courtroom to claim that women are weak and lie about rape. Alright. Valerie Hoff of 11 Live is about that news, nigga. And I'm gonna mention that a little bit. I put that on Becky Lives Matter. You can see that that story in that image. And I'll riff a little bit about brothers, black men, catching Mayo fever, what that is to me. Just a riff off the top of the head, right? I didn't get much time to add that into show prep. And if you want to call in and riff about that yourself, particularly about that, the guest call in is 347-857-3937. I have the phone bank loaded there. For folks that have had trouble with me seeing your comments on the Facebook Live comments in recent programs, I'm putting the link under it where the Michael Wright said he short was a Budweiser. I'm putting the link to the Flash Chat, the Blog Talk Flash Chat, in the comments section. All right, so that might help, because then I can just click on the Flash Chat, so I can look at the Facebook comments, look at the Flash Chat, see what works there. Right. Leslie Mack commented on the post and said, but they added the functionality to allow others to go live from pages you run. What the fuck? Yeah, I saw that. Leslie Mack said, I fucking saw that shit was fucking weird. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, so niggas that's not me can go live from my page. I don't know what the fuck they about to talk about. Ain't nobody finna go live on my behalf. You might say some shit. You might endorse Clinton. Fuck that. Not on my shit. Even though there's no, but I'm still seeing that shit. Like, white feminists are still bugging out about fucking Sanders. And it's like, the nigga's still in Senate. Alright, your homegirl Clinton, she took her ball and went home. Alright, game, set, match, nigga. A white male student makes a Craigslist ad to sell black classmates as plantation slaves. A former cop drives drunk and kills a student walking home. And folks like Jocelyn Fox and Jessica Love, they are pornography film sex workers. And folks like them have a message to those motherfuckers at Netflix with that thing they have called Hot Girls Wanted, a documentary where they out sex workers. They force sex workers that have escaped pimps to talk to the pimps You know, they've put, like, sex workers that went under, like, what do they call them, monikers and whatnot, put their real names out there, you know? So, yeah, that Hot Girls Wanted documentary is some fucked up Swerf shit. It really is, and that's what Swerfs are all about. They're fucking, they're cruel fucking monkeys. The homie Cretan Loco said, allow Pageant's manager to take pictures and record video. Well, so I have to go back and let it do that again? So, like, I basically have to go back into settings for Pages Manager to get, so that the live broadcast can come off the WineCellarMedia.com page again. Because I don't like doing it from the William J. Jackson page. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it from there. Alright, and of course we have the LGBT news update. Also, Rick Wiles. We have some Rick Wiles audio. A black trans woman murdered in Florida. A black girl that had to deal with racism on the basketball team. There's protest at the St. Olaf school after the latest racist threat against a black student. Class boycott is in the works. A mountaintop removal site could become Kentucky's largest solar farm. Could become. This is just a maybe. A Michigan City police officer, good cop, charged in the rape of a woman with a mental disability. Alright, so let's go ahead and get to the opening and trigger warning, and I'll see how much of the tag list I can get in there, man. Because it's not looking good. Maybe Phoenix Collider might be able to get back for the next go-round, for the next week, but that's a whole lot of maybe.
Sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat shit. Side though, it's all good. Whipped his ass so bad his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next 3 birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid? This, he ain't fading nothing over here though.
One ass whooping, man. They still want.
How you figure that, man?
Look around you, man. They own this shit. They on this couch you sitting on, them shoes you got on your feet, this building, this school, this country, you. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
No better yet, disco. Head feeling mellow from a bottle of Cisco. Move. To cross your fire, sucker MC like Crisco. Give me the cue. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off on me. Because you doo doo. You're treating me the Z to the D. Like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're living foul. MCs. You know who you are. On the red wagon, YZ. Cause you a star. This is a year when the joke is wild. When the fact you hack it and try to write your style. I get hip to the scheme before it happens. If it gets wild, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bomb. Because I'm house.
This show is brought to you
house,
by the fuck
house,
that Father Teresa does not give.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet?
It's brought to you.
This building?
By the fuck?
This school? This country? You?
That Father Teresa does not give.
All right. WineCellarMedia.com. Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, the Black Podcast. Phoenix Collider, the Uppity Negress. Uppity, two P's, two T's on the Twitter, at Uppity Negress, is out for the program, just entirely too sick. I did as much of the tag list as I could, which was not much. It was barely two pages. That was a page and change of the tag list. So, folks are missing from that. All right. That is a fact-based fact. All right. I didn't even fucking get the link everywhere. This is fucking sad, man. It is fucking sad, like trying to lock all this shit in. But I have to do it. I've got to feckin' do it. And some folks noticed that we've been having trouble with catching folks' comments on the Facebook Live. So in the original post, in a comment in the original post, I have the link to the Blog Talk Radio Flash-based chat room. All right, so that's an option there. Let me go ahead and share this thing out to the gosh darn pages. Social Dissonance, a Critical Analysis of Justice. Don't forget to check out the WineCellarMedia.com website. Kind of funkied it up a little bit different there. I made a static page, so now it doesn't just like show up like a blog, you know, like it looks like a website maybe to me in my head somewhat a wee bit, a little. All right, remember, you want to call in, talk about black men catching mayo fever. That's 347-857-3937. Did not have time to get the Skype open. The laptop decided to just do an update and restart right when it was time to go live. Like, I'm like, it's like 6:20, like 6:25. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to update and restart on you there, feller. I tell you what. And it fucking did that on me. All right, so let's head on over here to Valerie Hoff to start it off. Valerie Hoff of 11 Alive News. She resigned today, 2 weeks after she went ahead and N-worded it on it. Quote from Valerie Hoff: "I was quoting something the gentleman said in a public tweet back to him in a private message, but that doesn't seem to make it any less offensive," is something that she wrote there. She continues saying, "It was incredibly stupid and reckless. I was in the middle of a pressure-filled day trying to chase down the video of a man being beaten and kicked by two Gwinnett police officers, which this particular gentleman had posted on Twitter. I repeatedly apologized and continued to do so. I also offered to resign immediately." End quote. The boss up there, John, I shit you not, it looks like his name is Duchesne. John Duchesne offered a message and said, quote, "11 Alive does not tolerate any form of racially insensitivity and aggressively enforces our standard policies. We acted promptly to address this situation. Valerie Hoff has been chosen to resign and apologizes for her actions. 11 Alive is committed to treating the communities we serve with dignity and respect." Ending quote on the story from Valerie Hoff. You ready for this? "I look forward to being a stay-at-home mom and working on my food and travel blog. ValerieHoff.com this summer. Good Jesus fucking Christ.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right, let me take a look at the, nothing going on in the Flash chat. And, nothing going on in the, on the Facebook comment section. So, good. And we'll keep on moving forward. So, some police fellers, they were at a restaurant. And they could get some eating food. And, and this was in, North Carolina, a barbecue joint. And, the police union's Facebook post for the rally. Ooh. The Rally Police Protective Association. They accused workers at the Smith, without video evidence, without multiple angles of video evidence and multiple witnesses to verify that this is not edited video evidence. So they're lying. They accused workers at a Smithsfield chicken and barbecue in Garner of singing NWA song Fuck the Police to the officers as they were having their meal, as reported by WTVD. The post sparked comments online calling for a boycott of the restaurant. And the Smithsfield, thank you, Chicken and Chips Meals, Barbecue Jones Sausage location for the class and professionalism as you sang F the Police as my brothers at Rally Police Department attempted to eat at your restaurant. You're not brothers. You're co-workers. See, this where, yeah, the policing system is all fucked up. It's a fucked up fraternity. And that's part of why there's so much rape culture going on. They are frat boys with guns. Right? Nailed it. All right, yeah, simplify it. That's your talking point. Frat boys with guns. That's what the cops are. As my brothers at the Rally Police Department attempted to eat at your restaurant. That's from the union's Facebook post. The union president, Matthew Cooper, wrote on Friday on the Facebook, quote, "The manager sang along as well. Do you really feel that was appropriate?" End quote. The police officer's post prompted the union's post, according to the station. Now, the Rally News and Observer reported Saturday that Cooper said in an interview that there were a couple of officers who were sung to, though he would not give the exact number. Oh, you don't have specifics? He said, kind of like how they don't have specifics on how many ounces of the reefer water is in the evidence locker. There's just some there for whenever you want to plant it on somebody, right? Right? There's just some. It's a big old bag. He said the police association spoke to the owner of the restaurant, David Harris, and accepted his apology. Harris promised on Facebook, quote, "thorough investigation and terminate anyone employed that doesn't share our respect of all law enforcement," end quote. The Rally Police Department said late Saturday that it was working with the restaurant to solve the issue. The Rally Police Department appreciates the long-term and strong relationship it continues to have with Smithfield's, it said. The employees should just not show up on the biggest day of the year. Just don't fucking show up. Matter of fact, start fucking up. Or you just fuck them. You know what? Take all your checks. Start up a new business. Co-opt. Without the owner. I mean, they're an owner. Fuck them. Fuck owners. Alright, the fuck is this? This is the kind of shit you get from Phoenix Collider. This is the kind of stuff she puts in the show notes. Check in the phone bank. 347-857-3937 if you want to riff about a black man catching mayo fever. So, down there in San Diego, California, one woman was killed and seven people were wounded. Several were wounded critically when a hot man opened fire Sunday at an apartment complex swimming pool. All right. where a number of adults were attending a birthday party. Jesus, balls, what's this guy's deal? Police rushed to the apartment building in the University City area and fatally shot the man after he pointed his gun at the officers. That is rare. That is rareness. A white man pointing his shooting gun at the police fellers, and they're like, we's gonna have to shoot you now. But they gone and did it. They gone and shot that white man. Alright, so they rushed there. Pointed his gun, they shot him. This is a story according to the San Diego Police Chief Shelley Zimmerman. It's a familiar name. The reports were grim. A white man wearing brown shorts was armed with a gun and shooting at what two witnesses described as approximately 30 people around the pool, most of them Africanized McAmericans. Uh-huh. That's why she put it in the show notes. And that's the danger you're in. Like, you're in danger as long as Europeans have access to any weapons and are not, like, fenced in Europe. We're in danger of them. A police helicopter reached the area first, and from above, authorities could see a shooter near the pool who appeared to be reloading his weapon. Despite the fact, the suspect, Peter Sellis, he's still just suspected. He's a suspect. Peter Sellis, a 49-year-old individual, shot four black women, two black men, and one Latino man, before, being killed by police. Zimmerman said, Salisa, who was also white, was despondent over a breakup with a girlfriend and race was not a factor. Nigga. Phoenix be fucking with me with these show notes. Race was not a factor. He just happened to go to where all the niggas at and get his blast on, but race was not a factor. Sellis was speaking with his ex-girlfriend on the cellular telephone during the rampage because he wanted her to hear the carnage. Zimmerman said, adding that Sellis' family knew he was distraught, but said there was no indication that he would resort to violence. He's white and a man at the same time, probably on purpose. All right, nobody saying anything in the the flash chat. Astroloco said, "I don't do PayPal, but we'll hit Cash Square app if you get it." I've never heard of that. I've never heard of the Cash Square app before, and that's the homie Astroloco. Phoenix, damn, I'm so used to Phoenix Kalita sitting next to me while I'm broadcasting, be like, you about to Google that? And she be Googling it already, but she's in the other room, not doing well in at allness. Continuing, with this, skibidip-bip, a witness who saw the chaos from his apartment window told a local TV station, KGTV, that the shooter appeared calm as he mowed down the victims. Quote, we could see the shooter sitting there with a beer in one hand and a gun in the other. End quote. The witness, who was not identified, told the station, the San Diego mayor, Kevin Faulkner. Wait a second, is that the one that... No. I'm thinking of a different mayor. Way back on the old long-term wine cellar members, I remember a Democrat mayor that was like, he got his sexual harassment on, like a fucking boss, like just ridiculous with the sexual harassment, this fucking guy. And but this is not that guy, to my knowledge. But the San Diego mayor, Kevin Faulkner, said, This is truly a horrific act of violence that took place here today. Our entire city, all of our thoughts and prayers, and the San Diegans' thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families tonight. There's no such thing as a San Diegan. That is not a motherfuck word. I'm so fucking tired of those. That's like somebody called me a Washingtonian because I grew up in Washington State. Stop it. Stop being silly, okay? Stop being a silly Billy Gumdrop. Alright, So, that feller, Jesse Williams, went and is associating himself with that white woman. I remember in the 90s when I was growing up, you would hear sometimes about fellers like Wesley Snipes and whatnot. They'd be like, oh, but black women is this and the white woman's is that there. And, I say Mayo Fever, which is like fun hyperbole, when I'm really talking about, racial trophyism, right? Where it's like, these white women's is a step up, you know? And it's like, in the context of, I mean, of course there's patriarchy there, but there's the matriculation in capitalism. And it's like, for a lot of black men, you know, I have no actual numbers here, right? Let's acknowledge, I have no actual numbers, I have no actual percentage. I'm really just throwing out the word a lot, kind of sloppily, I'll acknowledge that. Now, for a lot of black men, that's, that trophyism is, like, important, right? It's to show, like I've got this white woman, that means I'm at this particular, class, status. And then there's, like some black men that do have no class status, but they'll just, you know, as long as they can associate with a white woman. And then this is still with a patriarchy objectification and whatnot, where some people will point out, well, it's like, well, those black men that don't have that class status, they're typically with a white woman that would be, you know, like seen as like incredibly unattractive, you know, in this culture with these, you know, Eurocentric beauty standards. Like, this particular white woman that this black man of low class status with is like a lower tier of white woman in the patriarchal structure and the sort of caste system in the politics of beauty. Looks like my Facebook Live is fucking up. Oh, my Facebook Live is trying to reconnect. Alright, so this is going to be a fucked up video, but the audio will be fine. Right? Right. And a lot of black men won't even verbalize this. They'll just act on it. Right? Like, to my knowledge, there was no announcement made by, like, a O.J. Simpson when he's just suddenly not with this, black woman anymore, and he's, with this, white woman, soon to be, you know, genocided white woman, if you will. OJ was about that white genocide. Okay, alright, continuing. Yeah, fucking, I remember hearing about, like when I was a teenager, I had wrote a song, I was 17, I just wrote a whole song just dissing black men that were with white women. You know, and I mean, I probably wouldn't do that now. If I did, it would be more nuanced. You know, it wouldn't just be like, fuck y'all niggas for that. You know, nah. But I remember, I had put Taye Diggs in that song. And, because I just heard he was with a white woman. And then, you know, when you're so young, 2 years can be a kind of significant time, you know. So a little later, I'm 19 years old. I'm almost 20, you know. It's Jesus Christ, about 2003. And I'm, you know, in the store, and I'm looking at magazines, because, you know, you were still buying magazines at that time, and there was one with, Taye Diggs' interview specifically about him being with a white woman, and I was like, let me see this shit. Now I look at it, and he was like, it's not like I came up and got with her, that's who I was with when I was broke. And it's like, alright, so I wouldn't chalk him up to Mayo Fever, but then, in recent days, black women I follow, and my wife told me, in recent years, he's just talked shit about black women. And it's like, so now I'm thinking back, and I'm like, ah, fuck, man, maybe you do have the Mayo Fever, and you just acted on it early. You know, and you can just see that, you can see that shit jumping off. And I was talking to the homie Mo Loco, and Mo Loco's a white woman. And she was like, she doesn't, she's like, I don't, she's like, I don't blame the black men for being influenced by white supremacy like that. And I get that position. At the same time, I gotta flex on y'all niggas for having that. You know, like if you're with someone, if you are a black man that's with a white woman and it's legit, like you both are actually a compatible couple, like I can respect that. But the logical assumption is that you just see her as a trophy above black women and that you think you are above black women socially. And it's not actually about a serious companionship. So, I'm still gonna call it Mayo Fever, even though it's not, like, something I'm yelling, you know. I'm not like, oh, Mayo Fever! Nah. 347-85... I barely scratched the tag list, so there's, like, almost nobody on there, right? Alright, so let's, go ahead and swing into the LGBT news update, get a couple more stories in, and then I can, wrap this up, get to bed, and get to the warehouse, and bust these fucking hours.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Monday, May 1st, 2017.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
First up, Big Gay News from Oregon. Hearts with a Mission Board apologizes for denying donation funds. KOBI5 News reports that a Grants Pass Oregon faith-based nonprofit dedicated to helping homeless youth is having a change of heart about a donation they turned down. After initially rejecting a donation from the Portland Gay Men's Chorus earlier in the month, Hearts with a Mission admitted that they made a mistake and asked that the public hear their apology. According to Ann Hitchcock, a board member for the group, they had wanted to avoid controversy by refusing the donation of funds raised by a concert featuring the chorus, but their action ended up causing hurt and offense to the GLBTQ community, something that they never intended. The funds from the concert eventually were donated to the Maslow Project, a group with a similar goal of helping homeless youth in the Josephine County area. Three board members with Hearts with a Mission resigned over the controversy. Next up, Senate Democrats reintroduce bill to outlaw gay cure therapy. Pink News reports that Senate Democrats have reintroduced a bill that would federally ban the practice of gay conversion therapy. Senators Cory Booker of New Jersey and Patty Murray of Washington brought the Therapeutic Fraud Prevention Act back into the Senate for discussion as part of the renewed efforts to try to get the controversial practice of gay cure or conversion therapy banned across the nation. The bill had been introduced last year but died without being heard. Next up, Pulse owner to create permanent memorial at site of nightclub tragedy. ClickOrlando.com reports that the owner of the Pulse nightclub, the site of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, will announce plans next week for establishing a permanent memorial in honor and remembrance of the tragic events. Barbara Poma announced that she would hold a news conference on May 4th to reveal details regarding the vision and process for creating a memorial at the site of the massacre that killed 49 people at Pulse last June. Poma, who started the club in 2004 to honor her brother John, who died of AIDS, said in a statement, "Pulse has always been a part of me, but after this tragedy that took 49 lives, it became a part of this community and the world. With this event that happened, I had no clue how expansive the love for Pulse was. It's important that we as a community be mindful and take great care to preserve, honor, and help heal." For our final story, South Korea presidential favorite in anti-gay comment. Sky News reports that the favorite to be South Korea's next president has come under fire for saying during a TV debate that he does not like homosexuality. Moon, a practicing Catholic and former human rights lawyer, surprised many of his young liberal supporters when he answered that he did not like it and has no intention of working to legalize same-sex marriage when questioned about his opinions on homosexuality. Moon did add that he felt nobody should be discriminated against because of their sexual orientation, but his words did little to lessen the controversy. While homosexuality is not outlawed in South Korea, the country does retain a conservative and patriarchal view toward it, and the GLBTQ community is often stigmatized. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
All right, and the folks on the Facebook Live can see that I, cracked open a can of Pepsi because I'm ending police brutality the white woman way. You know, I think Hillary Clinton would be proud. And speaking of Hillary Clinton, Anna Loco up in the joint posted a link to what the fuck is this? Someone said a nigga named Quinn said, so is now a good time to say the folks on the Hillary campaign let a field organizer get away with bribing homeless people with food for canvas shifts? What the fuck? Somebody said they had plenty of money. They should have paid canvassers. You can't exchange food for a vote, but you can feed volunteers legally. But Hillary Clinton argued for legal bribery. You know, like, y'all remember that shit during the primary where Hillary Clinton was like, yeah, sure, she's against dark money, like Citizens United. Well, publicly claims to be against dark money, like Citizens United, but like the upfront legal bribery, hey, keep that in. Keep the lobbyists in the game, son. Like, what the fuck? Damn, man. See, if Phoenix Kalita was here, she'd fucking Google that. Can I get away with fucking Googling that myself? Clinton campaign bribe homeless to canvas. Like, what the fuck? Hillary Clinton, bill corruption, flush the toilet, campaign operative, quits following expose video. It was October 18th, 2016. And it's on opposingviews.com. Huh. Okay, let's see. So a Democratic strategist who worked on behalf of Hillary Clinton's campaign has announced his resignation after video footage surfaced suggesting his organization took measures to incite violence at Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's campaign events. Robert Creamer, who was married to Illinois Representative Jan Schakowsky, said he was stepping back from his... Well, that's... Man, it's not the same thing. Yeah, I'll need to see a, I mean, an Opposing Views is a whack website, but their shit is legit. They do real stories. Yeah, I'm not seeing that story on one Google. Maybe Phoenix Kalita will find it in due time. Alright, so back to WineCellarMedia.com. Y'all want to hear this motherfucker? Alright, so this is Rick Wiles, and he is a wild Father Mucker. And his transphobia is very, very anti-war transphobia, if you will. If you will. Let's see where he goes with this. And he's talking about Target, and he calls himself a citizen reporter as the host of True News, right? True News, T-R-U without the E. True News, Mr. Rick Wiles.
Months from now, let's see...
Ooh, that audio came in hot, right? Let's see where he's going with that.
News reports that Target is struggling to survive. Let them go under. I don't care. Let the stores shut down. It's either shut down Target or their type is going to shut down this nation.
That's right.
Shut down Target or their type is going to shut down this nation.
Because there's no end to their insanity and their immorality and their wickedness. Look, I'm going to go back being myself. The purpose of this ministry, the original calling, where is this going? Where is this going? America is Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me show you. Business Insider. The U.S. commander of naval forces in Europe warned CNN in an interview that Russian submarine activity has reached levels not seen since the Cold War. Speaking of the spread of submarines, their aggression, buildup, and capabilities, Admiral Mark Ferguson warned that the situation could pose serious problems for NATO. He told CNN, quote, the submarines that we are seeing are pretty much stealthy.
Was this nigga... how the fuck did he get... It's 64 seconds. How the fuck did he get to stealth submarines? Let's run that back. Okay, let's go from where he was at 10 seconds and where he is at 64 seconds.
We're seeing the Russians have more advanced weaponry to survive. Let them go under. I don't care. Let the stores shut down. It's either shut down target or their type is going to shut down this nation.
Okay, shut down target.
Because there's no end to their instabilities. Admiral Mark Ferguson warned that the situation could pose serious problems for NATO. He told CNN, quote, the submarines that we are seeing are pretty much stealthy. We're seeing the Russians have more advanced weapon systems, missile systems that can attack land at long ranges. And we also see the operating proficiency is getting better as they range farther from home waters. So the Russians are stepping up the activity, the number of submarines that are out there and the frequency of their missions. God is going to use the Russians to bring down Sodom and Gomorrah if there's no repentance in this land.
That's right.
Listen, these freaks are going to get us all killed.
Wait, what the fuck? Okay, I figured out how he's doing it. So, it's that same thing with, like, the weather, right? These gay folks, God is going to punish us through other nations bringing war to us because they're sexual freaks.
They're going to get us all killed. They don't understand us, Doc. We all die. All of us die. When there is a nuclear war, we all die. Now, those of us who are saved are going to go home to be with the Lord. Those who are unsaved are going to burn in hell. But we're all going to die in a nuclear war, thanks to the sodomites that are in control of this nation right now. So you better wake up, folks. Realize how serious this is. Show me one country in history that has gone down this road and survived. There's not one example. There's not one example in thousands of years of human history of a nation turning from God and becoming a sodomite nation and then going on to be great. Not one nation.
That dude is bugged the fuck out.
I'm still thinking about the, you know, programming.
So, all right. So apparently that's what Rick Wiles is bringing to you. And that makes me think of that program that I was looking at, The Handmaid's Tale, and how they were, in the first episode, they were showing, it's set in the future, for folks who never heard of it or never seen it. It's set in the future, and sort of a predictive future of, like, a fucked up white Christian situation. Of course, imperialist, but, you know, they go old school, they make the women wear the bonnets, there's a problem with birth rates, so they got these women that are handmaids that, and the husbands have sex with them so that they can have the babies, and then the other women claim the wives claim motherhood. In the beginning, as they're teaching the kidnapped women to be handmaids, that they show video of, like, pollution happening and shit, and they're like, this is what we did, this was sin. And it's almost like, we're saying that's sin now, in our own way of calling it sin, motherfucker, fuck you. You know, it's just like how, you know, when climate change gets so real that these motherfuckers can't deny it anymore, they're gonna say, well, the homos, sextables caused it, and the transgenderables, they caused it. And, folks, see, Candace Loco in the, comments section. Candace was my girlfriend and my best good friend when I was 14 years old. That was my best good friend. We used to sit down and listen to, Shaquilla. fucking Michael Wright. Oh yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, he said he sure was a Budweiser. And hopefully it's not hiding other comments from me. And there's none in the flash chat. Alright, so black trans woman murdered in Florida. Shavis Reed, a 28-year-old individual out of Miami, has become the ninth trans woman that we know of reported murdered this year. She also went by Juicy as a nickname. And she was shot to death early in the morning of April 21st in the West Little River neighborhood of Miami. This was reported by the Miami Herald. She was shot while running across the street, and her attacker fled and remains at large, according to local media. Initial reports misgendered her. See, that's what we're talking about right there. Friends who met Reed at the Homestead Job Corps Center in Florida remembered her as a lively woman who loved to dance and make people laugh. Quote, "Half the time we couldn't stop her from dancing. She was the life of the center." That's a quote from Kene Donald. And another friend, Patina Peterson, told Mike.com that she was a light, always trying to make everyone around her happy. "I don't even remember her getting into anything. I don't remember seeing her in an altercation out there with anybody in a bad way. I've never seen that," end quote. The Miami-Dade police claim to still be seeking witnesses, but say they don't believe that Reed's murder was a hate crime. Jacqueline Miorke told Mike.com, quote, "Just seems like nowadays being transgender is dangerous as a whole," end quote. Nowadays. You know what? Hey, again, he might not be in these news stories as much as we are. Police ask that anyone with information call Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers, 305-471-TIPS. And remember, last month, police in Charlottesville, Virginia announced, that the case of a transgender teen missing since 2012 has been reclassified as a homicide rather than a missing person case. Oh, man. And that was, Lolita Smith, a.k.a. Cookie, was missing. Ah, man. These fucking stories. You know, and I check for them, every single day, every morning, when I, get up to get the news together. Before I head on down to the warehouse. Now, Jasmine Orsted, was, just trying to play a little basketball in the, and was, seeking a spot on the University of St. Mary Washington women's basketball team. And, she said that racist comments began almost immediately after she, started practicing with other students. One white player openly mused about, quote, "Why black people name their kids the way they do," end quote. Orsted recalled another white woman responded that she, quote, "never had to worry about that," end quote, because her high school, quote, "wasn't in the ghetto," end quote. Adding that she was, glad there were only one or two black players on her high school team. A quote from, Orsted, she said, "I was astounded. I couldn't believe that somebody would actually say that, especially in the presence of somebody that's black," end quote. And this is why black parents gotta stop lying to your kids. Tell your black kids that white supremacy exists, and you're going to come across white supremacists that are young, that are younger than you. Alright? Stop lying to your black kids. Like, I'm so fucking tired of seeing black people surprised. Orsted was ultimately barred from trying out for the team because of what the coach deemed a lack of, quote, chemistry with other players. According to her lawsuit, believing that chemistry meant tolerating racism, Orsted sued the university and federal court in Virginia and settled last month for $160,000. As part of the agreement, Mary Washington did not acknowledge wrongdoing, but it did commit to bringing in an outside professional to lead annual sensitivity and inclusion training for staff and students in the athletic department. And any student who participates in preseason activities for a sport will now be guaranteed a tryout. Jasmine Orsted, the lawsuit comes at a time when many college campuses have been working to confront instances of racism. Orsted, who now attends Bowie State University on a basketball scholarship, said she hopes her decision to take a stand instead of ignoring the comments helps others. Without the support of her family and a youth coach, she said, she probably, quote, would have been one of the ones to cry and just be sad, end quote. Jesus Christ. She also says, I just want anybody else who goes through this to know that they have to believe in themselves and not let anybody make them think that they are being too sensitive, that they're the issue. Not let the bullies win, end quote. As a condition of the settlement, Orsted will not disparage the school. However, she is allowed to recount the contentions in the lawsuit. They said you disparage the school. Just the story alone disparages the school. What kind of silly ass shit is that? That's motherfuckers just reaching for any fucking thing. Orsted had come to Mary Washington in 2014 to play basketball, a sport she had loved since childhood. Because she had outperformed some of the university's players during a year at Northern Virginia Community College, she was hopeful she'd spend a lot of time on the court. She had to save money by living at home in a nearby Woodbridge, and her parents would be able to attend her games. But as the preseason went on, the racial comments continued. Orsted said one player expressed fear of going to a black church. Another said that black girls don't shave because their legs are dark. When a girl said she had gone to Haiti, Orsted said another white player asked, "So did you get a picture with any skinny little hungry black boy?" End quote. When she was asked about her heritage, Orsted told the other women that she had an African-American mother and a Norwegian father. She said they were incredulous. Quote, "So you have a white dad who married a black woman and they had a baby together?" End quote, she recalled one player asking. So many fucking quotes. Fucking, and they, she quotes again, says, "And they just fell on the ground laughing, and I'm standing there like, this is 2014 at the time. That's not something unheard of. I don't understand how it could be funny," end quote, because your fucking parents lied to you. And that's a problem with your black parent that married the white person. That black parent was already fucking lying to themselves about white supremacy. Stop lying to your black kids. There were two black players already on the team. Orsted said one made her own jokes about race, for example, saying that she was the rare black person who could swim. The other black player, according to Orsted, would laugh along with the white players at racial comments. The only people who didn't laugh, she said, were Orsted and another black newcomer. That student testified in a deposition that when she confronted other players about a racial joke, they responded with weird looks and began distancing themselves from her. The student who asked not to be named for fear of retribution was also cut from the team before tryouts and has since left the school. Orsted still wanted to try out. She thought that once the coach was present, the comments would stop and the other girls would begin to respect her as a teammate. But about 2 weeks before tryouts, Coach Dina Appleberry called her in for a meeting and suggested she try a different sport. Quote, "I don't know if this is going to work, all right." Appleberry, saying that Orsted was not really bonding with the kids. Orsted bought up the racial comments and Appleberry promised to look into them, but she added, quote, when you have, a group versus one person, I kind of have to go with the group because it's a team sport for right, wrong, or otherwise, end quote. There's a transcript because at her mother's prodding, Orsted secretly recorded the conversation. Sheila Holt Orsted had also told her to keep a diary documenting jokes that made her uncomfortable. Holt Orsted had some experience in this area. A decade earlier, she led a lawsuit also settled against Dixon, Tennessee for letting a known carcinogen contaminant drinking water in the county's black neighborhood. Several members of her family died of cancer. She survived breast cancer. Quote, "I really just thought that this could..." Well, and then you married a white person. Like, white people deliberately gave you cancer, and you said, "You know what? That's what I need in my life. One of them." I need one of them. So it's kind of like, you know what? Black people can catch Mayo fever, but I'd have to really see what black women are saying about it for black women. But yeah, I can speak better of it on black men on it. I'm just more competent with that. You know, like Imani Gandhi, like she has Mayo fever. Elon James White has Mayo fever. That's why they're like the worst niggas on Race of all times. Here we go. More confrontational than her soft-spoken daughter. She went to the school officials with her husband, but said she found little support. Orsted recalled that one human resources administrator suggested that it was a compliment to say that black women don't have to shave their legs. These people are fucking... They don't care that they lie. And it's like they enjoy lying. Because they know we know they're lying. So why are they still lying? It's got to be fun for them or something. Alright, Vernon Brooks, who would coach Orsted in a youth league, described her as an exceptional athlete. During her time at Mary Washington, Orsted called him to vent, sometimes crying over what teammates had said. Quote, at first, initially, I thought, they're competing. That happens a lot in college. But then as we continued to talk, I could feel the emotion coming out, and I thought it might be something more. Really? All right, and you can see all of this at winecellarmedia.com. You know, I mean, ultimately, she got in the game. She did have to take 1 year off for a leg injury, you know, but she came back, and she's in there. She got the $160,000. She'll get her education. She's cool, you know, but Jesus fucking Christ, man. I really think that people should teach their black children that white supremacy exists. Stop lying to them. Teach them that every white person you come across, guilty until proven innocent, right? White supremacist until proven against it. You know, that just assume that that's what they are. You know, go into every situation like that. It's not paranoia. Let me close off the Facebook chat. Like, you're not bugging out. That's just what you're in, right? They might just fucking have a beer in their hand and be shooting you. Or that old story in Florida, actually very close to where I lived at the time that it happened. A white man hit a black woman on her bicycle with his car. And then as he was being arrested, he just kept saying, I did it. I did it on purpose because she's a nigger and niggers fucked my wife. I don't know about the whole niggers fucked my wife thing, true or not, whatever. But fucking, that's white people, man. They're fucking dangerous. Like, they're dangerous at random. Remember that old story in the 90s when a bunch of white people just fucking beat the living shit out of some black people in a Denny's? And how did it start? Because a white woman was deliberately hitting a black woman with her hair. And the black woman finally said, can you stop? And then the white people fucking, basically, they pulled a now you's can't leave, if you ever seen The Bronx Tale. They pulled a now you's can't leave and beat the brakes off them black people. They're fucking dangerous. And white women in particular. That's why I do the Becky Lives Matter. That's why in my, my news.google, I have the racist white woman tab, so that, you know, when those keywords come up, racist and white woman, you know, I get those fucking stories. Because those shits go under the fucking radar. Didn't we have the one some weeks ago where white woman just beat the shit out of an Asian woman, telling her to get the fuck out of her country? Like, these fucking, like, white women are fucking dangerous, man. They'll fucking kill you too, or they'll get you killed by their white men. That's how they are. That's what they do. That's how it's always been. Somehow, we just happened to land somewhere around an hour lately. And that's okay. All right. WineCellarMedia.com. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam. I'm actually, as soon as possible, I'm going to go ahead and shut down the GoFundMe.com/PhoenixandWilliam. That failed, and I understand why, because the reason why we set it up was to try to get our tax return for getting robbed by Obamacare, but, you know, a lot of folks like Obamacare, and they're okay with the fact that I'm getting fucking robbed for, you know, for you. Like, I remember how disgusting it was, where it's like, when I posted about it, basically, I got robbed of that shit. You know, of my fucking tax return, I got nothing. Like, for tax time, I actually had to pay money. I got nothing. And some white woman posted in a thread, I used Obamacare to help me get healthy from whatever the fuck I had. And it's like, so I'm getting fucking robbed to help probably racist white supremacist white women. Fantastic. Like, fuck you, Obama. I fucking hate them Obama niggas. And didn't I told you motherfuckers about that shit, right? With them, like, he recently, gave some speeches for, like, $400,000 or some shit like that. I said that shit was gonna happen. Because look at all the work he put in. Remember when he slow-jammed the TPP? How hard he pushed the TPP? How good he was with the corporatists? How good he was with the banksters? He treated all the right people right so that he would be rewarded when he got out. Essentially, he used the office to enrich himself. My motherfucker's saying, Donald Trump's using the office to enrich himself. Yeah, Barry Hussein did too. And Bush and Billy Clint. Right, I don't know too much about them other niggas. I don't look too much into presidential history a great deal. Maybe if I had the time, maybe if I wasn't working so many hours. That's another thing. Like, that's why I have to work 6 days a week when I used to work four. It's because of getting robbed of that Obamacare. Like, now I got jacked for that, so now I gotta work extra hours. You know. Gotta work extra days. Can't be home. You know. Can't be home. Can't take care of my sick wife. You know. Can't take care of my sick black wife so that a white woman can have her Obamacare. Ain't that precious? I can't take care of my sick black wife because a white woman needed my money. That's white supremacy for you. GoFundMe.com/Phoenix and William. I'll be taking it down in a couple days. Ah, and that's your wine cellar.